Hey, helper. Before we get into this episode, I wanted to let you know about our new membership program. You can start every week with bonus content in the form of an exclusive members-only weekly affirmation from yours truly, and you know I love a good pep talk. Plus, we offer ad-free streaming of all episodes of Ha Ho. Your support helps us to keep helping people, so it's a win for everyone. Click the link in our show description to become a permanent helper. You'll be glad you did.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Miss Danielle, and this is Help a Human Out. Can we talk about the mass awakening of 2020? And you're probably like, when was the mass awakening of 2020? Oh, you remember when George Floyd was murdered, and then all of a sudden people were like, wait a minute, racism is real? It's a thing? And a lot of people woke up. A lot more people than I could have even imagined. I thought we all understood that racism was alive and well. I did not understand that there could even be a mass awakening, but it happened. The mass awakening of 2020. It was shocking, and yet it was real. So many people were waking up. Now, we've been talking about white supremacy since 2020. I mean, we've been talking, a lot of us have been talking about white supremacy for a long time and have recognized that it has been, is, and we don't want it to always be a problem. But the mass awakening of 2020 really brought a lot more people on board that were like, what is this white supremacy and what does it mean and how do we unpack it and just all of these things. Now, of course, I can tell you that white supremacy is bad. And to be clear, it is. But lots of things are bad, right? And we just keep going on about our lives because it doesn't impact us. And maybe you're white and you do feel bad that white supremacy exists, but you don't really do much to dismantle it. And I get it, because sometimes it's hard not to care about something if it doesn't directly impact you. But as an empath, I got to tell you, that's extremely difficult for me to not absorb the problems of the world. So I care about all the things. I've always cared about all the things. And honestly, it's exhausting. But here's the thing. White supremacy is bad for everyone. And I'm not just saying that because I am a Black woman. And even those of you who think that it doesn't impact you, I promise you that it does. And if by chance you can't believe a Black woman, because of course I'm biased and I'm going to tell you, well, white supremacy is bad, the good news is I have a white man here today, and he can tell you also that white supremacy is not just bad for me and people who look like me. White supremacy is bad for all of us. Ryan Verdin is so dope. Okay, let me just name that. Ryan Verdin is so dope. He's an educator, an author, and cultural worker based in my hometown, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ryan works with individuals and organizations to develop mindsets, you hear that? And build skills for communication across lines of difference. He is particularly interested in looking at the intersections of race, come on now, class, and gender. He has authored several pieces, which can be found at Teaching for Tolerance, The Good Men Project, Twin Cities Daily Planet, Teaching While White, among several other platforms. Ryan has a bachelor's degree in social studies, as well as MLS and MEd degrees focused on critical studies, equity, and inclusion. Let's go, DEI. Come on now. Currently, Ryan serves as adjunct faculty teaching Justice and Peace Studies course and serves as the executive director of Lyric Cultural Coaching. And he can be reached at info@lyriculturalcoaching.com. Ryan, you got to tell me, and I hope this doesn't come across weird, but how did you turn out the way that you are?
Yeah, so, like, it's really not that weird a question to me anymore. Like, you're the third person this month that's asked me that. And so I you know, it's not even a weird question.
Why do you think people are asking you that? You know that you've got to know that you show up in the world different. And when I talk about different, right? Like, I feel like I feel like I know a lot of people, and a lot of people are not racist, but I think that there are very few people who are anti-racist. And I feel like you are practicing anti-racism. And I think you show up in the world differently because of that. And so when I say, like, how are you the way that you are? Like, to be real, I feel like there were times where I used to be mad at your wokeness. Like, you were more woke than me. And I was like, I don't understand.
Well, look, there's so much to respond to right there. One, I'm glad that it feels like I show up anti-racist. That is the goal. Or it feels like I show up differently. That is a goal. I remember, like, one of the first times being on Hamline University's campus. That's where I went. And I feeling like I don't want to be like them. And whoever that them was at that time. And when I'm really honest, it was rich white people, right? And I was leading with class. And so, you know, to answer your question, like, I really got to start by giving my mom and dad props and just acknowledging, like, they raised me to not judge people. We went through our own stuff as a family. Can we cuss on here? Can we cuss on here?
Yeah, of course. You get to be your full authentic.
I was like,
please.
Okay, hold on. Let me keep it a buck. Like, yeah, we went through shit. You know what I mean? Like, we were poor. We were scrappy. And, you know, my parents, they weren't going for anybody, you know, judging or trying to put on a front for anybody. I grew up hearing often, like, if not for the grace of God, there go I. And so we weren't in a position to think we were superior or you know, to judge anybody for what they were going through. We could recognize struggle and the beauty in the struggle. And I think a lot of people, you know, and we were also raised colorblind, right? So it led naturally to this whole idea of, like, you know, Dr. King being taken out of context and judge people by their character, not the color of their skin. And so I took that. That was real. And we could do a whole episodes on the failure of colorblind ideology all that, which I learned about later, obviously. But I mean, I can't answer that question without talking about that part that was instilled in me, right? Was like a real genuine, when people say, like, oh, why can't we all just be human? Like, that was legit my family, right? They were like, no, we're all human. Yeah. That was it. That's not to say that we didn't benefit from whiteness, because we did. Right. And I went through, like, learnings and messing up and being angry about it. But I think the thing that I came back to, and like I said, I was leading with class at Hamline, is I knew the world wasn't right. And so when I found out...
Come on, Ryan.
...that, you know, one of the things that made the world not right was this thing called race and this thing... And I landed in this category called white. It wasn't easy for me not to take it personally. And I wish I could say that was from Jump Street. I didn't take it personally. I didn't. Christina, if you're listening, I apologize again for snapping off the first time she tried to put me on game about white privilege.
Oh, my God. Oh, so, okay, hold up. So this is news to me. So back then, because, you know, well, one, I think so many of us have to learn to check our egos, period, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is a, you know... When you learn to check your ego and you really learn to hear somebody else or what. So you mean to tell me that my woke ass friend, Ryan, you denied white privilege at one point?
No, yeah, absolutely. I was all, like, I'll tell the story. I know she don't mind.
Yeah, please tell the story.
Yeah, I'll tell the story. I've asked her permission to tell this story before, so I know she won't mind. But my high school girlfriend, it had to be senior year sometime. I forget. But I was complaining about something that I didn't feel was fair from one of our high school football coaches. Now, keep in mind, I'm not a very good football player. I just want to be clear about that right now. Like, I'm really comfortable. I'm good at a lot of shit. Football wasn't it. I had no really reason to complain. So anybody that knew me or, you know, like, please don't jump in the comment threads right now talking about he was trash. We know. That's not the point.
Okay? Yes.
The point was I was complaining, like, oh, he don't like white people. He said white people can't run the ball or ain't doing this on one of our coaches. And she was like, hey, and I was like, he's racist. And Christina was like, yeah, that's not the appropriate. That's not how we should understand what's happening to you. And I was like, what? You know what I mean? Like, of course it is. Judge, you know, the typical, like, well, a common thing, right? Like, he's judging me based off the color of my skin. Of course that's racist. We're all equal, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And she tried to talk about power and privilege, and she was telling me that, and I clung to the privilege, right? Like, how you gonna say I'm privileged? I eat ramen. You know I'm working for cash under the table. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, look at where we're at. There's really rich people here who are privileged. How could you say that? And that was the first time that I got put on game about, like, what privilege was. And it took me a minute to come back and say, you know, apologize to her and be like, yo, I appreciate it. But when I got to that place, it really wasn't. And there's dynamics about, like, your girlfriend checking in, a lot of masculinity in there too, I think. But it didn't take me long.
A lot of those things that flare that ego.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I was young. I'm like 17, 18 maybe. But it didn't take me long to read, like, Peggy McIntosh's Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack, Tim Wise, some of his work, White Like Me, and some of his articles, to realize that, like, privilege had nothing to do with me as a person. Right. It was an example of systems benefiting groups of people to keep the shit that was fucking my life up in place, right? Like, the reason why, the hardest working people I knew and still know are working class poor people.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that is the way that it is because of white supremacy. Like, white supremacy justifies that. And so it was really easy for me to get into it and see the convergence of my interest and the world that I wanted to live in with the dismantling of white supremacy, which is why I talk so much about.
Yes.
It's good for me to want to see racism gone.
For selfish reasons, Ryan, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep it real. For selfish reasons, I said, I got to get Ryan on this podcast because, you know, when I talk about racism or when I talk about my experiences as a Black woman, right, or whenever I talk about it's like people forget sometimes on the social media, right? It's like they forget that I'm Black. Because when I start to remind them or I tell them about my Blackness or remind them that I'm raising Black children or remind them that I have a Black partner or I love Black people or I'm very pro-Black, not saying I'm not against anybody else, but I love my people and I rise for my people. And I am mind blown by the response, like what happens when I do that.
Yeah.
And so I said,
I've seen some of that. You're a G, by the way.
Thank you.
Social media is a hellhole. Right? Yeah.
Sometimes I can't even respond. And I'm like, Ryan, there's someone I would really love for you to educate on this here Instagram. So please do that. But I'm mind blown by some of the comments and the responses and the things that I encounter, and I think about, like, no matter how, whatever, there's always a lot of peach people that pop up on me and they're like, no, like, don't you remember that your mom is white? Which she's not, by the way. She passes very much so, but her dad was Black, right? And also, who are you to tell me about me? And like that entitlement. And so if I were to come on here and I say those things, Ryan, if I say, hey, this the entitlement you're showing when you pop into my DMs and you require these things of me and you want me to do this for free, you want me to relive my trauma, you want me to give you my pain, and you demand it. You're not even asking half the time. You demand me tell you these things. They would call me aggressive and they would say all these things, but they need someone like you. Like, when we talk about white supremacy, if I said to white people, hey, white people, I really think white supremacy is bad for you too. What? So for selfish reasons, Ryan, I said, I got to get Ryan on the podcast because this is a white person who literally says that white supremacy is bad for white people too. And maybe, just maybe, because he's white and he's a man, they'll listen to him.
Look, I hope so, because I'm not... it's selfish for me to be here, too, because, again, I really believe that. Like, I want more people to understand how poisonous and toxic white supremacy is. And my role in that is people who look like me, is other white people, to say, like, hey, you know, yes, we get these things and we're socialized to you know, in these certain ways, but really it's killing us. Really, it's disconnecting our spirits, our souls, our really that thing inside us that says, like, yo, we can treat people right.
Right.
It's dulling that light. And so we gotta figure this out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So when you talk about, like, white supremacy being bad for white people, like, you know, a lot of people would laugh at that. They'd be like, what are you even talking about? And I'll tell you, as a Black person, I used to think, like, why on earth would I would think about the good white people in my life, right? White people that who I feel safer with than most, right? Like, you, as a Black person, I don't feel safe with all white people. All white people are not treated equally around here, because if I don't feel safe around you, I'm sorry, that's not for me, right? Even them, they don't fight as hard as I think they should, right? They don't. Like, I'm just going to call a spade a spade. I got a lot of really good white people in my life, and still, sometimes it feels like I'm out here on an island. So let's just say that, because that's real.
I'm really sorry that that's your reality.
Yeah. It is. Well, yeah. That sucks. And that's what it feels like. Even though, you know, some of the closest people to me happen to be white people, peach people, but I will tell you, it feels very isolating, because it doesn't feel like everyone is fighting as hard as me. And so they're as hard as me for the people who look like me, right? And so, like, I do show so much love to people like you and people who, you know, you don't have to do this work. Well, here's the thing. You do have to do this work.
Yeah.
Because you can exist in the world looking like you safer than I can.
For sure. Yeah.
So when I say you don't have to do this work, I'm glad you're doing this work. And if you believe what you actually believe, that white supremacy is bad for people, bad for all people, bad for white people too, then of course you have to do this work. But right. Everybody don't think like you, Ryan.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope more people do. And here's the thing. So, man, I really am, like, super geeked about this conversation, because I think it demonstrates kind of where we're at in the world right now, particularly after the murder of George Floyd, right? Where folks who look like me are like, ooh, I really got to engage, and I have to figure out a more sophisticated way to engage, because what I was doing before isn't really working, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, what we're seeing is, like, a lot of white people are opting out of that, to be honest. Like, the data says...
Oh, yeah.
And the data says less people... There's less support for Black Lives Matter right now than there was before George Floyd was murdered. Right? So a lot of people feel like they're like, hey, we did it.
They did their jail part.
We're good, right? And it's like, no, we're not. But the other piece of that is then it's opening up this conversation where what I've experienced happens... And this is, I want to talk directly to your white listeners right now and on IG. Hey, what up? Don't jump in her threads. Come holler at me if you need to. But I think there's a lot of really well-intentioned white people who don't want to make mistakes and don't feel like they know what to say, so they don't say anything.
not realizing that in not saying something, you are absolutely causing so much harm.
Absolutely. And there's a reason for that.
You say something.
Well, there's a reason for that, right? And there's also this contingent, though, too. And I want to say, I think this group is larger than I think some people might think there is. Except for on the right. I think the right believes that this group is larger than it is, but I think they're closer to what it actually is than the left. Mm-hmm. There's this group of white people who understand what I call privileged discourse. So they understand they're privileged. And one of the things that, or how they believe they're interrupting their privilege is by not taking up space and not speaking on this and not acting like they benefit from the dismantling of white supremacy, which I understand. I'm not saying white people, let's get out here and take up space, you know what I mean? And like lead the Black Lives Matter marches and all that. Right. Nor am I saying that we don't have privilege. We do, for sure. What I am saying, though, is that it is in our interest to use that privilege and access to dismantle systems. And it is okay to say that. It is okay to tell a judge and you know what I mean? To talk to your manager, or if you're a hiring manager, it is okay to say, I am going to be conscious about how race is impacting the decisions I'm making today.
Yep.
Right? And yes, that comes with a ton of personal work that needs to be done, right?
But like, it's hard. That's the problem, though, Ryan. Everybody's not, they don't want to do that work.
That's
some people
just hard.
Are so okay. It is very hard. And here's the thing I always say, and I love these conversations because sometimes people are like, what? You know, you're not the only one who grew up in this racist-ass world. I did too, right? And so what that means is that I learned some oppressive ways myself. If you think that I have not shown myself racial oppression, if you think I have not been internally racist to myself, if you think that I have not internalized that I could never be the standard of beauty back then because a sister is dripping in melanin and she loves it these days. So let me just name that, okay? But back then, I legitimately didn't think, I believed what the world was telling me, the same thing the world is telling you, the same thing that the world is telling all the listeners. Like, it's always told this. So unless we tell it something else, unless we actually say something, it's going to keep saying that.
Yeah. And I think that that's an important shift in understanding, which is why, like back connecting to what we were just talking about, like, why do so many people choose not to say anything? Or they're so afraid to making a mistake. It's because we have taught generations that racism is about your character. It's about your moral fiber. It's about whether you look at somebody and like them or not, right? So we spend all our energy talking about goofballs like, you know, Donald Trump or Richard Spencer or anything like that. And I don't know how many right-wingers you got listening to you, but we can have that conversation.
They know how I feel. It's fine.
Right. But we debate whether or not they're racist. And what's adequate evidence is somebody who, quote unquote, knows them for X amount of years or even for a little bit and says, I know there's not a racist bone in their body. As if the racism lives in is about your bones and your bone marrow rather than the fact that you looked at a resume, saw an ethnic sounding name, and were 50% less likely to go give that person an interview, right? Yeah. You don't have to hate Black people to have that socializing force happen and make that true in your reality.
You don't even have to realize it.
You don't realize it most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when and that's true whether or not you're white or Black as a hiring manager, right? Mm-hmm. When we don't understand whiteness as a socializing force that justifies the social order, whether that's the class order, the, you know, gendered patriarchy, all of those things, the heteronormativity, when we don't understand these things as socializing forces and not personal character flaws, then we're ill-equipped to fight it. We won't make the gains that we need to, which is why so many people are like, it's 2021 and we're talking about this? It's like, because we still ain't talking about it.
Yeah,
we're still talking about it as, oh, did Derek Chauvin hate George Floyd? Probably, because fuck that dude. But it actually don't matter because there was three other cops there that the Star Tribune is writing all about, oh, he wanted to change the police force. King wanted to change the police force. Well, why he didn't stop that from happening?
Right.
That's the question that we should be asking. And it has everything to do with white supremacy. not as a Klans member or Nazis, because they certainly are. I don't want to say that they're not. But it's so much more than that. And we have to be able to have that conversation. Otherwise, we're not going to go anywhere. And that conversation starts with white people, because white people created this in colonial America. And so that's why I lean on when James Baldwin said, if you think of yourself as white, I'm paraphrasing. So if there's a Baldwin scholar listening, like the quote might be slightly off, but paraphrasing, he said, if you think of yourself as white, there's no hope for you. Because as soon as you think of you're white, I'm forced to think I'm black, which automatically puts us in this binary, right? Of like, you're either this or you're that.
Yep.
And that's not a place where we can realize our full humanity or experience what I would think of as freedom.
Okay, so if y'all cannot figure out by now that my friend is very smart, okay, and he will help you unlearn some of the crazy racist things you got going on.
Look,
and
we'll unlearn together. We will unlearn together.
We all got to unlearn. I'm talking about me too, right? Like
me too. That's what I'm saying. You gonna help me unlearn.
Yes, it's a part, it's a journey, right? And Claire, my best friend, Claire, my best friend, she always says one of the things she says to me a lot is that like, there's nobody like you. Like, I don't know somebody who just always stands up for, like, you just do it all the time and you do it. It's easy for you. And, and I'm like, nah, it's not easy. It's not, but it's necessary. And I think the reason why it's necessary, and I think the reason why like we connect, Ryan, is because it is about, for me, it's so much bigger. It is about the world I actually want to live in. In the world I want us all to live in, like, right? It's like that shift of from me to we. And I think so many people are still so rooted in me that even the idea of thinking about the collective, thinking about what's good for all of us is, it almost feels like you're assaulting what they've worked so hard for. It's like, no, you worked hard and you get all these things and that's amazing. And also, you should be a good human and you should care that there are other humans who have no access to this.
Right.
And the systems keep upholding it. And you have to know by now. You have to know by now. If you don't know, you ain't never gonna know.
And this is, I don't want to get too radical and too into that shit, but it's like, one is we're taught that, right? Like, in order for our economy to function, we have to think of ourselves as individuals. And like, individuality is a real thing that gets elevated. And I'm not saying there's no benefits to individuality. I personally love the ways that I can individualize myself or separate myself.
Absolutely.
Right? I like nice things. I have lots of shoes. I like clothes. I like, all those things. I'm not saying none of that's bad. But when we can't contextualize ourselves within a healthy community, it really don't matter what we got.
No.
Because, and this is, again, why we benefit from the dismantling of white supremacy, is at some point, there ain't going to be a big enough wall. There ain't going to be a strong enough lock. There ain't going to be a big enough gun or enough bullets to keep motherfuckers who ain't got shit from coming to get your shit.
Right. Because when people are done, when people have hit rock bottom, when the struggle is... when you've done everything and you still can't get nothing.
Right. Even on a more real, and this is like what's wild to me of like, I think that this worldview is shifting right now, because look at the world that we're living in. America has lived in this space of like, we're exceptional, we're this and that. And COVID is here, killing us way more than anybody else. And the reason it's killing us more than anybody else, it's because we act like, I got to put a mask on? Why would I do that? To stop you from getting sick? As if that person getting sick don't got nothing to do with your own health.
Exactly.
When of course it does. Because your baby's got to go to school. Yeah, you want to go out and eat. You want to do all these things? Well, everybody's got to be healthy to do that. Right? And now, and then, it's just wild to me. Like, we're in a global pandemic. Which by definition means we are all connected. It's a global thing. There is no such thing as that.
Except we're not.
Yeah. When climate change comes, it don't matter what mansion you have on Florida. That shit is going underwater. Right? And the way that we've socialized people in this society is, I mean, look at what Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are doing, right? Like, let's go to space. Let's just find the place where there's not this. As opposed to, hey, let's work together and solve these problems and create a more healthy world. If I'm interested in the more healthy world.
If you don't think Bezos and Elon Musk are planning their escape, y'all are tripping.
Look.
They got all the money in the world to plan. I say what you want. I don't care. They are planning their escape. Okay, they are planning their escape. Meanwhile, they have enough money to help us all. But we have this mentality where it's, I gotta be okay. And I get that, right? Like, we all innately want to take care. One, always save you, okay? Take care of yourself. So I don't want people to think like I'm saying, oh, you can't. No, I care about myself. There is nobody who loves me more than me. Trust that, okay? Because I know in loving myself and protecting my peace and shining my light that is how I help people. I keep my light strong because then my light can ignite other lights, right? So like I'm mindful of these things. But if you think for one second, these billionaires who have money to help so many people, if you think that those millions don't make them feel good.
Look, no. And thank you. That's what I'm saying is like, and ultimately, one, there's this idea of like scarcity, right? Like that if somehow Jeff Bezos is taxed, then the middle manager person or whatever won't have enough or something like that. It's like, that's wild. That's not true. Like, there's so much out here. We could all be good, right? And like, so this idea of scarcity is nonsense. But also, the shit that makes us happy isn't even the things we can buy. What really fulfills us is genuine relationship. It's being physical, like having your health. It's being able to be outside in nature, right? Mm-hmm. And like connected to creation. These are the things, love, being loved and to love somebody.
Come on.
These are the things that make us happy. And so white supremacy, patriarchy, capitalism, what Bell Hooks calls the, all of that, like that stop, those are obstacles to those things.
You working yourself to death for this family that you love.
Stop doing that. Stop working yourself to death.
Working yourself for real. To death. Not realizing that, like, I saw a video this week, Ryan. I saw a video of this mom in labor. And she's talking to somebody who's in the delivery room with her. And she's writing to her boss like, hi, I'm not going to be able to come in because, LOL, my water broke. I'm in labor. And the job responds to her, well, that's fine. But this is going to have to be, you know, some type of some inhumane.
What kind of PTO do you got? This is going to come out your sick time type stuff. Yes, like giving birth as a disease as opposed to the most beautiful thing you could do.
Exactly. It's like people have lost their humanity. And I think when we start to remember, right? When we start to remember that, of course, white supremacy is bad for white people because white supremacy is bad for everyone.
Everybody.
Because it's bad. It's just bad.
Right.
Like we know difference between right and wrong.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's funny too when we're both educators, work in education. And one of the things that is true, like, especially when, you know, it's like universal design, like the disability justice and ableism, right? It's like all of those things. It's like if you create spaces that are accessible and where the most and remove the obstacles for the most challenged groups or, you know, the ones that are the most marginalized.
Everybody benefits.
When you create an assignment that's accessible and scaffolded for, you know, the student with the most severe learning disabilities, your most high-flying student actually benefits from that. You know what I mean? The one that comes, they actually benefit from all that.
I hope people are listening. I think it's so important. But like, when you talk about like UDL, right? So I legitimately, I went into education and certified as a special educator. I was, I changed schools, I moved, and the position that was here for me this year is a general educator. But I also still teach students with IEPs. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people are like, oh, you know, like, they're like, oh, but you have, you have some kids in your class with IEPs or you're, and I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, isn't that hard? And I'm like, let me tell you something. Let me explain to you how much everybody benefits from this.
Right.
Let me tell you how me being a special educator makes me a genius general educator, right?
Right.
Because now my gen ed babies who are struggling but maybe don't have an IEP, they have someone who can put that special educator cap on. You know why? Because it's a cap I never take off. I give people what they need to be successful. That is equity.
Right.
Right? They don't all need the same thing. And it doesn't matter if some of them have IEPs and some of them don't. Some of them that don't also need me to find a way to teach them so that they can learn that way. Right? Like, find it. Figure it out. Like, it's mind-blowing to me that we still have to teach grown-ass adults equity. Why do you get that and I don't?
Yo. That is the most frustrating thing to me, too, is because the adults, like, looking around, I'm like, where in the world do you see that? Where in our society are we encouraged for that, right? Like, this idea of fair. And then you turn around, though, and say, well, we're going to do something to remedy the unfairness that marginalized groups have seen, like, take BIPOC communities of color. We're going to explicitly address that harm, right? And then all of a sudden, now y'all concerned about being fair.
Yes, these are the conversations that make me just so happy, right? Like, we're growing, we're learning, we're unlearning all the things. It's amazing. And listen, we're just getting started. Of course, we have more of this amazing conversation coming next week. I promise you, Ryan was going to show up and be super dope, and he delivered, and he's going to continue to deliver next week. So make sure you tune in for that. If you have a question you would like us to answer, you know what to do. Send a voice memo to hahopodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram @hahopodcast. I'm your host, Miss Danielle, and our executive producer is Emma Martins. Help a Human Out is produced by Red Rock Music and is powered by Acast. We'll see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for listening to Ha Ho. If you want more content, including weekly affirmations from yours truly, make sure to become a member by clicking the link in the show notes.